The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
We're going to be changed by it. Amen. So faith, hallelujah, faith boosts us. Faith boosts us. And we've really covered some grounds on this very teaching. Like I say every day, you better master how to live and how to walk by faith. Now, I won't say it. Now, the point is, at different times in your life, you will need to live and exercise the faith life. At different points in your life. And my counsel to you is not to begin to learn how to live by faith when there is a crisis. It is better you learn how to live by faith when there is no crisis. So when the crisis comes, you will know how to act. Are you following me? So you learn how to live by faith before any crisis comes. The thing about life is, whether you like it or not, tough times will come. You know, I was talking about adversity just last month, right? Whether I like it or not, tough times will come. We don't pray for them. We fight. We try to avert them and to reduce them, to minimize them. But they are going to come. It's not a question of if. It's a question of when. You know, sometime last 2 weeks, I was in a meeting with my spiritual father virtually, with just a group of his sons. And some of the pastors were asking some questions about things that were happening in their church. Some of this were happening in our church too, you know. And I was like, wow. So these things not only happen here, they happen everywhere. So they were asking different questions. And my dad said something to them that morning. He said, some of these things, you know, there are things that must happen to you. It's not a question of whether it will happen. It's a question of when it will happen. So you see, tough times will come. It's for you to brace up for it. I get what I'm saying. One of the ways to brace up for it is to master how faith works. To master how to live, how to act, how to walk by faith. Because see, one day, sickness is going to come knocking. Now, some of us, I'm going to talk about healing this morning. But some of us think that when someone says, I have divine health, that what we mean by that is that you will never be sick again. No, that's not true. Sickness will come knocking. If you hear men of God that say, I've not taken drugs for the past 6, 7 years or 10 years, you think they've never fallen sick. Sickness must come knocking. It's not a question of whether it will come. It's a question of when. So you must master how to walk by faith. I was talking about finances on Thursday. Okay? You see, lack must come. There must come a time in your life that you need more money than you have. Even Jesus had that moment. He wanted to pay a tax. There was no money. That's what I'm talking about. He wanted to feed the 5,000. There was not enough bread. So sometimes, you know, and that's why when believers are not well taught, when they begin to have challenges, they begin to ask questions like, where is God? God is actually in heaven and inside of you. So if you've not mastered how it works, how to sustain, how these things work, you begin to complain and make and you'll say a lot of crazy stuff. God wants you to succeed. But you must master how it works. And the devil did not become born again the day you became born again. So don't think that because you are now born again, he will just leave you alone. No, he wouldn't do that. Because he did not become born again with you. The demons in your father's house did not travel when you got saved. Some of you think that they say, Lord, just come into my life. All the demons and ancestral past your fathers have said, okay, well, since he's now saved, let's leave him alone. Well, that's when they will actually come for you. The Bible never said to ignore the devil. It said to resist him. Why do you resist him? Because he will definitely come for you. Definitely. And so, you must master how faith works. Because the thing about challenges is, it's not a question of whether they will come. They will come. I am not preaching adversity to you. They will come. Are you following what I'm saying? They will come. The strongest men you know are the men that have conquered the biggest of adversities. You know, sometimes I share my stories with you guys. Some I will not even tell you. Some of you are shocked. You know, the thing about it is, sometimes I hear my pastor and some other men of God share their stories. And I was talking about Brother Tomokwai. I heard him again recently. He said he lost 4 people in one day. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. 2 were his children. You know the story, right? They were traveling, the jeep, 2 cars fell off a bridge and fell into the water. Everybody died. Real life story. You know what I'm saying? We're not praying for these things. But many Christians have not been taught on how to handle that. So when any small thing happens, you hear complaints, you hear murmuring, say, where is God? I'm not even serving God again. Where was God? These things will come. The Bible never said that afflictions will not come. It said many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many is the word. The only promise of the Bible is that he will deliver you from them. When we are asking the word of God, we are trying to minimize these things, avert them if we can, but there are some that we cannot avert. First of all, because we ourselves, as human beings, we have moral failures. And we have different kinds of failures. Sometimes there are times God could tell you to pray and you ignore it. You know what I'm saying? There are times he could lead you in one way and you ignore it. So these things can open the door for these things to come. Are you know what I'm saying? Some other times it also looks like you did everything right. And challenges still came. You must learn how faith works. Are you know what I'm saying? I'm a faith man. Through and through, I can tell you. I am a faith man. And I'm sorry, I'm going to tell you, any the Lord permits to talk about them, you will know that how I live my life is by faith. Sometimes I deliberately begin to stretch myself because I need to master how this thing works. Because if you can't believe for 200k now, 200k need, you're already panicking. One day you're going to need 20 million naira. One day you're going to need 200 million naira. How will you believe for it? Small headache has come upon you now, feeling somehow. How will you now? When they now give you, oh, say, God forbid, it's not me. Fine. If they now give you medical reports, you have cancer, incurable, stage 4. What are you going to do? Just going to call all your people. I don't think believers should settle. Say, I have cancer. It's all over. It's all over. Please, my assets. I have 2 plots of land. Is that what they're going to do? You must learn how faith works, sir. Whatever you are passing through today, someone has been through that path and still came out strong. Others have been through that path and they were drowned by it. So it's not because your challenges are big. It's because you've not learned how it works. The things of God are scientific, I always tell you. And by that I mean it has formula. If you master how the formula works, it can work anywhere. I know what I'm saying. They can walk anywhere. I've seen cancer healed. Okay? I've seen cancer. I've seen paralysis. And all of this, you can do them by the word of God. All of them. So master how faith works. What if you are sick and you cannot afford to buy your medications? What are you going to do? Just give up or go sit with begging? I love the faith of God. And we have the faith of God. What I'm trying to do this morning, or what I'm trying to do in this series, is to show you how to walk with this faith. Because already established, we all have the faith of God. Once you're a believer under the sound of my voice, part of what God gave you when he saved you is that he gave you his faith. And so the believer doesn't have a faith problem. No believer has a faith problem. Believers don't just know how to release their faith and apply that faith. So it's just like if I decide to share equal money to everybody. Say, once you're in church today, I'm going to give all of you 100 million. Now, when you come in, I'll just pay it into your account. Or let me say, I give you a check. That's the perfect one. I give you a check. Everybody check 100 million. You know, if you don't know how to claim your checks, you will still be broke. I get what I'm saying. If you don't know how to claim, if they don't know how checks work, some people don't even know how this check thing works. Just give, just looking at it, say, what is this? I care for money, they're giving me paper. You know, and then, you know, these things can happen. And let me even ask, I'm talking about check now. That's why in dealing with faith, you must learn how to insist, how to be patient. Because if you carry your check to the bank to go cash it, they could say, oh, go and bring international passport, go and bring national ID card. You know, they're not trying to say you don't have the money. They're saying you need some requirements to claim your money. Sometimes that's how it is in the spirit. So you're praying, God has given, but there are some delays. The delays might be the devil might be fighting whatever God has given you. There are some things that you've not yet, you know, a lot of things. Maybe you're speaking negatively, but they've been given. You must learn how faith works. So So whatever God has been available for you can have it. Amen. Today I'm going to narrow down to healing. Okay? And it's supposed to be a very short teaching. Amen. Do you love short teachings? Huh? Yes, I've grown old. So I can take like 2 hours. Huh? You know, I'm stronger than you think. Oh, all right. But you'll be blessed. Now, I'm just going to be very basic. How to trust God for your healing. How to faith for healing. Now, listen, you need the teaching of divine healing now. You either need it now for yourself, or you need it now for somebody you know. Or you need it in the future for yourself or somebody you know. That is, it's not a question of what you need it. So master it early. Master it early. Brother Egan of Blessed Memory taught a lot about healing. And because sickness will come for everybody. Everybody's going to be sick at one time or the other. Are you aware? And the reason I've explained to you, we live in an evil world. We live in a fallen world. There are a lot of things flying up. And people are going to be sick at different times. The question is, do you know how to receive your healing when the sickness eventually comes? Amen. So I've given a few things I'd like you not to forget. Key things to note about divine healing. Remember how I started this teaching the first day? Faith begins from the heart. Do you remember that? Faith begins with knowledge. So you cannot say you are in faith. The question is, what are you believing? Okay? Faith begins with knowledge. Faith begins when the will of God is known. So I'll show you a few things you must know about divine healing. Number one, of course, basically, God does not author sicknesses. God is not the author of any disease. Please write and never forget it. God can never make anybody sick. Does it make people sick? James 1. In verse 17. Hallelujah. James 1:17. Every good, come on, put up King James. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good. If sickness isn't good and it's not perfect, it's not from God. This delusion of this deception of people thinking, you know, I'm sick. Maybe God made me sick. Maybe He wanted to teach me a lesson. I correct that every time, every now and then. It is not God. Let me even say this to you. If you are sick and you believe it, God is the reason you are sick, so why are you going to the hospital? Why are you taking drugs? If you think God made you, why are you trying to remove what God gave you? Or you want to use paracetamol to correct what God's discipline. So God is disciplining you with a deck and not taking drugs. If you think God gave it to you, why not relax? If I'm disciplining, if I say you should kneel down, when the discipline is over, I will tell you to stand up. So if you think God is one making you sick, when you fall sick, don't pray, don't fast, don't take drugs, don't see a doctor. Just relax. When God is done with the discipline, you'll just be fine. In heaven, you will die. God makes no one sick. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh from above, is from the Father of lights. Look at this. With whom is no variable, very powerful stuff. No variableness. Variableness means there is no, it doesn't turn from his ways. Put up like I'm the five classic of this. Let's do it together like a mask. Are you ready? Let's go. Every good gift and every perfect, free, large, full gift, hallelujah, is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light, in the shining of whom there can be no variation, rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning as in an eclipse. Proper NLT. Let's do it together again like a mouse choir. Let's read. Go. Let's go. Uh-huh. Read that last sentence. He never changes or casts a shifting. So he doesn't change. You wouldn't hear, okay, he wouldn't make you sick today, but he will make you sick tomorrow. Please perish that thought. God does not make people sick. God doesn't make people poor. If sickness is not good and perfect, it's not from God. And if you get these things right, it will help you to know what to do when you are sick. Well, at least you know that at least it's not God causing it. I've shared this with you many times. Acts 10:38 tells us very clearly who brings sicknesses. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing
all that we are oppressed of who? Of the it's the devil that oppresses men with sickness. It's the devil that makes people blind. You see that pain in your body? It is caused by the devil. It's not God. But some other people try to be religious. They say, well, God will not make you sick. But it's the devil. But God can permit the devil. Will you stop that rubbish? I did it, I permitted it. It's not the same thing. Yeah? I drove my car to jam you. And I told the car to jam you. Any difference? Same thing, sir. God doesn't make people sick. He doesn't permit sicknesses. Say, sir, what of the story of Job? Job took permission from God. See, the story of Job, how do I explain this? You know, the Bible never told us that there will be no temptations. Temptations will come. And the Bible never told us that God will stop the devil from tempting us. Like what I'm saying. So that conversation that God had with Satan in the book of Job is has been held over your life too. Temptation must come from the devil. The only promise of God, which is why, watch that conversation, he told the devil, don't touch his life. What was the promise of God? He said he will not let any temptation that is bigger than you come to you. So, the devil is just tempting people. Where you now see God intervene is, he wants to send someone, send one that is bigger. He said, no, stop there, don't touch. Because he knows your capacity, he knows you cannot handle it. I get what I'm saying. This even tells you that whatever you are passing through now, you are up to it. You need to hear me this morning. Whatever that is happening in your life now, you can handle it. Never say, this is too much, I can't take it. No, if it is too much, God won't bring it your way. No, I mean, bring it your way. I mean, he won't let the devil bring it your way. So the devil tempts people, that's what he does. He's the accuser of the saints. But what we actually see in the book of Job should not be, in your mind, should not be a God permitting the devil to tempt Job. It should be a God giving the devil boundaries on how far he cannot go in the life of Job. Are you following me this morning? So that's why everything, when I learn this secret, whatever that is happening in my life, I can never say, man, this is too much. It's never too much. If it's happening to me, it's because God knows I can handle it. If not, he would have told the devil, say, you can't touch him. Are you what I'm talking about? How come with everything the devil did, Job's wife did not die? Maybe God knows that. If that one happened, Job will die. Somehow there is capacity in you. I don't know why I'm digressing this one, but there is capacity in you to handle whatever that is happening to you now. So let nobody in this hall say, I can't handle this. No, you can. The chances are, even as Pastor Henry, if that thing happening to you happens to me, I might not be able to handle it. You've been empowered to handle that one. So, release your handle. I mean, is not to endure it. I'm not saying God knows you can endure it. That's what I'm saying. I say God knows you can handle it. He knows you can release your faith to handle it. Are you following me, friends? And so, God doesn't make people sick. It is the devil that oppresses men with sickness. It doesn't make people sick. It doesn't even say, okay, the devil, come. Go tempt Chimwanya. Make Chimwanya blind. That we can see. What are you saying now? If that happens, it is him doing it. But God doesn't do that. He heals all. He heals all that we are oppressed of the devil. The devil is the oppressor. So first of all, I would like you to know, God does not make people sick. You are not sick because of God. He has never made anybody sick. He will never make anybody sick. And so when you find sickness in your body, you already know where it's coming from. It's of the devil. I think I can hear better amen this morning. It's of the devil. Glory to God. Number two thing you must believe about healing is that God wants you well. And God does not want you sick for any reason. Any reason. Say, he's making me sick so that I can be taught a lesson. No. God wants you well. You know, if you establish this in your heart, whenever you are coming to pray for healing, because you already know God's position on the matter, you will know how to pray. If you are coming to me to ask me for money, okay, if you are coming to ask for money and you don't know whether I'm going to give you or not, if someone, maybe you're owing your landlord 300,000, and then man says, pay me. And you say, I want to go and meet one of my uncle. His name is Henry. Let me go ask him. Now,
you don't know if I'll give you or not. But then if you already called me on the phone and I said, how much is this? And I said, don't worry, come, I'll give it to you. Just come. You can even tell your landlord, I will see you in the evening. Because I've already told you my will on the matter. I will give you this one when you come. God wants you well already. So when you are praying, you are not praying to a God who doesn't want to do it. You are praying to a God who is interested in healing you. So you can bank on it. Why do you think you see men of God say things like, oh, they diagnose him of cancer, and then he looks at the doctor and says, I will go and I'll be back in 2 weeks. There will be no cancer here. Why is he that confident? Because God already has a position on the matter. God wants to remove the cancer. Are you following me, friends? Next time there is a pain in your body, I say, Father, I know just I receive my healing. Never you think that God is second guessing it. He wants you well. 3 John verse 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Even as the soul prospereth. When he talks about your soul prospering, he's talking about your spiritual growth. So John is saying, as you are growing spiritually, I want you to also be in health. So God doesn't want you to be growing spiritually and be praying, and you are sick. He wants you in health, then he wants you spiritually mature too. So John is saying, as your soul is prospering, your health should be prospering too. Are you following me, friends? Your finance prospering. So he's not saying, your soul, it make it look like all God wants us to do is to know the word, to pray, to win souls. No. He wants you well. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. So because you know, you must settle it to your heart that God wants you to be in health. Isaiah 33 and verse 24. Talking about the city called Zion. Hallelujah. Isaiah 33 and verse 24. Said, and the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. Are you in this city, friends? Said, the inhabitant shall not say. Says, how do I know I'm in Zion? Hebrews 12 verse 22. We have come to Zion. He didn't say we will. You have come to Zion. The city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. That's where we've come. Every believer is living in Zion currently. Zion is a spiritual reality. It's not a physical place we'll get to one day. When you come into Christ, you've entered Zion. Are you following me, friends? We have come on to Zion. What is found in Zion? Number one, Zion is the city of the living God. Number two, heavenly Jerusalem. Number three, an innumerable company of angels. So, when you come into Christ, you've come into all of this. Now, Isaiah 39 tells us that nobody in that city will ever say, I am sick. That is the plan of God. That we can have a church, hallelujah, where nobody is sick. I read an E.W. Kenyon book and he said, at the point of this writing, there's nobody sick in our church. See, at the right, there's nobody sick in our church. I said, if anybody falls sick, it's sent to help him out. That's the plan of God, sir. You know, I'm trusting God for a time. Why I'm doing this is, we need to come to a time where when I'm teaching on, when I'm praying for the sick, the major emphasis, there will be emphasis on you too, will be people that came from outside. You must master how to be in health. So God wants me well. So I said that in my heart, God, he wants me, he doesn't want me to have any sickness. And let me even add this. Because of that, you should realize whatever that is not working in your life is not God's plan for you. Even that minute pain you are feeling. The question I like you to always ask yourself whenever you want to give in to sickness is one question. Would God want me to have this disease? Sir, it's not serious pain. It's just one small pain here. I know. But would God want me to have that small pain? Just that I woke up and my hand, I couldn't move it. I'm talking to somebody now, directly now. I just woke up and then, it's nothing serious, just that, you know, my hand. Do you think God wants you to have it? I get to me, friends. Learn how to release your faith. So God, number two, I said, God wants you well. And he doesn't want you sick for any reason. Number three thing I want to note about divine healing is that God has promised healing. God has promised to heal you. Jeremiah 30 and verse 17. Jeremiah 30 verse 17, but for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Hallelujah. So there's a promise of healing, not once, not twice, scattered all over the Bible. God has promised to heal you, has promised to restore you, has promised that you are going to be well and strong. And because you know that God is not someone that promises and doesn't do it, if he has promised, then he's going to do it. So because of that, you can actually hold on to God and trust him for healing. So God has promised healing. Number four, is it number four now? Healing is an act of God's mercy. Write that. I want to remember that healing is an act of God's mercy. Now, this is a very important point. You know, why it's very important is when we talk about the mercy of God, the mercy already means you don't deserve it. You must understand, and this is where I want to send this into your ear. You must understand healing as an act of the mercy of God. And so, God does not heal people because they merit the healing. That's what I'm trying to say. So whenever you want to release it for healing, don't say, am I sure I qualify for this? No. Healing is, and almost everybody Jesus healed in the four gospels knew this thing I'm saying. Yeah, they knew. Because they were Jews, they understood. Luke 18, I think that was 38. I can show you again and again in the Bible. They knew that healing is about mercy. Put it up. Luke 18, verse 38. Go back to the previous verse so that we can see the previous one. 35. It came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. So this guy was blind. And he heard the multitude pass, he asked what it meant. And they told him in verse 37 that it was Jesus of Nazareth passing by. Verse 38. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David. What did he ask for? Have mercy on me. And almost all of them can't check the Bible, keep saying, have mercy on me, because they understood that God doesn't give people healing because they merit it. Healing is an act of the mercy of God. It's one of the expressions of divine mercy. So this is why we go for crusades. You find a young girl who is currently into prostitution. Currently, active service. And then, in the process, she got infected. Right in the crusade, she will get healed. There'll be cases of armed robbers in active service. Get healed of a gunshot. I know what I'm talking about. Because healing is simply the mercy of God in oppression. Are you following me this morning? Let me even digress to say, this is why you must understand the purpose. You must understand the purpose of every healing. If I have time, address your facts. Yeah, is it time? If God permits me in raise your facts, I'm going to take you through something in the book of John. That is the purpose of miracles. That's the purpose of healing. But let me just give you a hint. Go study the miracles of Jesus, particularly in the book of John. Because John did not give account of all Jesus' miracles. He just picked a few. I'll come to that much later. There's a reason. But you find that every healing has a purpose. That's why when we heal people in meetings, we must make sure we preach the gospel to them. Because people, God heals everybody. People can be very... Someone can finish stealing money now. And the process, his hand gets broken. He comes, God will heal him. It's simply the mercy of God. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Next verse. Verse 39. And they went, which went for him, you know, rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. He cried much. This is a lot of lessons from this verse. And I'll talk about it when I'm closing. He cried again and said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He was appealing to Joseph. In other words, he's saying, I don't deserve what I'm asking you, but give it to me. Now, this will help you that is a believer to know that if you ever become sick, God will not heal you because you merit the healing. So whenever we stand there to pray for the sick, stop checking your life and say, have I done well? Have mercy on me. And the Bible tells us about the mercy of God, that his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. The mercy of God is so much. It's overwhelming. You can't exhaust it. Are you following me, friends? You can't exhaust it.
And so if his mercies are new every morning and healing is an act of his mercy, it means healing is always available for you. So if you are sick this morning, I'd like you to know that by this simple explanation, you qualify for healing. He says, sir, do I qualify for mercy? No, if you don't qualify for mercy, that's your qualification.
Like what I'm saying?
It's mercy. When you meet somebody and say, I beg, have mercy on me. You're not trying to give us a reason. He said, so just pity me. That's what they're saying. Healing is God's pity, God's mercy on people.
Are you following me?
It's not like spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not an act of God's mercy.
Are you what I'm saying? Spiritual growth, you have to walk. You have to read your Bible. You have to pray. You have to be in church. All of that.
Have you not seen cases where you've been invited someone to church? The person has refused to come for 1 year or 2 years. One day the person got, the only day the person came to church, the person got healed and didn't come again.
Have you seen that kind of case?
Just guess and will not come again. You now think that God is going to say, oh, you, sir, they've been telling you to come, you don't want to come. If I heal you, make I bend. No. He will heal you. Because it's just what the person can appeal to his mercy, he will heal the person. And that's the kind of God we serve. He's a merciful God. And that's why you realize that everybody Jesus healed in the four Gospels, they were not even born again. And I always ask you this question. When they were shouting, crucify him, crucify him, where was blind Bartimaeus? Jesus healed him. Where is the son of that woman that Jesus raised from the dead? And where is the woman herself? Where are all those people he healed? Where are the 5,000 men that ate free bread and fish? That tells you that all those people he was ministering to, they didn't even like him. He was just being merciful unto them. And that's when you come to prayer, God doesn't want you to qualify for what you're asking for. Oh, are you following me, somebody? God is not saying you must qualify for divine healing if I give it to you. So all the guys that ate fish, you know, he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes for 5,000 men. With numerous women. Numerous is the word. Then later, he multiplied 7 loaves again for 4,000 men. And numerous women too, and children. Now, if all those people really liked him,
I get what I'm saying.
It means that by the time Jesus was going to be crucified, there will be at least 9,000 men who are shouting, no, no, we not go agree.
Are you following me, friends?
So they didn't care about him. And he knew they didn't care about him.
But he's a merciful God.
So when you're coming to engage God for healing, you're not coming to a God who is saying you must cross your T's and dot your I's if I heal you. You are coming to a God who is merciful. And who has healing as an act of his mercy. And who has so much of it to give you. So are you sick this morning? You can engage the power of God to be healed. And whenever you fall sick, never let the devil make you feel you don't qualify. You see, sin can cause sicknesses. Hear this. People say, no, sin cannot cause sickness. That's not true. Sin can cause sicknesses. Ephesians 4 tells us in verse 26, he said, neither give place to the devil. He's talking about love and all that. He said, don't be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In verse 27, he said, neither give place. So when you allow the son, there's a way you can, I'm giving you one example, there's a way you can be so bitter. I'll show you in the Bible shortly, you open the door for the devil. And when you open the door for the devil, you can't control what the devil will do. So sin can cause, as a matter of fact, sin can make people poor. Are you aware? Anything that can let in the devil can cause any problem. You get what I'm saying? So sin can cause sickness. But sin can never stop healing.
Are you following me, friends?
Sin can never stop your healing.
I stay here.
So even if the devil makes you feel like, oh, the reason you are sick because of that, maybe he's correct. People go to get engaged in sexual immorality and they contact HIV. These things happen. How do they become sick? Sin.
Are you still here, friends?
People go to steal and they get shot. And they need the healing. How did they get shot? They were, so these things happen. Now, I am not saying that every sickness is caused by sin. Now, please hear me. Sin can cause sin. I'm not saying every sickness. So that it's not when somebody falls sick.
He's checking what sin did he commit. No. Sin can cause sickness. I'm not saying sin causes every sickness. If you're here, say amen. But it can.
But then, whether the sickness was caused by sin or whatever, sin in itself cannot stop it. Cannot stop healing.
Healing is available for all. I say healing is available for all. Because it's God's mercy and oppression.
John chapter 9 tells us, you know, from verse 1, of a certain man. Put it up. It's not in my notes, but it just came to me now to share it with you. And as Jesus passed by, he saved blind a man which was blind from his birth. Blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? You know, these guys understood that sin can cause sickness. Who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. Verse 4, verse 3. Jesus said, neither had this man sin or his parents. So you see what I told you? Sin can cause sickness. Jesus did not tell them sin cannot bring sickness. But he told them that in this particular case, it wasn't a matter of sin. Do you know what I'm talking about, friends? So don't ever think that every time something goes wrong in your life, it means you've sinned. It's not true. So he made it clear to them, in this case, it's not sin. But this is happening that the works of God should be manifest. Now, listen, Jesus is not saying we made him sick so that we can showcase our power. God, Jesus is saying whatever has caused this sickness, God is going to get the glory out of it. Are you still here, friends? So healing is an act of God's mercy. So whenever you're sick, if you ever fall sick, all you need to do is to ask God to have mercy on you. Or no, maybe you wouldn't say that, but whenever you are praying, bear it in mind that God is going to have mercy on you. He's not going to do it because you are perfect. He's going to heal you because he's a good God. Are you still here? So healing is an act of God. Number 5 now. Healing is implicated in redemption. Healing is implicated in redemption. Let me tell you what that simply means. People have argued to say that Jesus went to the cross to pay for just our sin. I have no problem with that. I agree. Sin was paid for on the cross. However, not only was sin paid for, in redemption, we're also given the life of God. We're also given the power of God. And in that power of God, we're also given the Holy Ghost. We're also given the gifts of the Spirit. Part of it is the gift of healing. So by the death of Jesus on the cross, we're also given healing. Because, are you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he didn't go to the cross maybe to start paying for malaria, typhoid, but by his resurrection, he came to live inside of us and he has now provided healing. So you can also say that by the reason of the death of Jesus, you are not meant to be sick. Because his death gave you the Holy Ghost. Are you following me, friends? His death gave you his life. His death gave you that gift of healing. And that takes me to the next point. God's healing power is working in every believer. So we say healing power is working in me. God's healing power is working in every believer. The power of God is working inside of you. Now, whether you're engaged or not is your business. What is even the healing power of God? I'm talking about the life of God. God's healing power, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I've already mentioned the gifts of the Spirit now. 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible tells us that he gave gifts to some, healing and all that. And I've shown you that those gifts of the Spirit, we are giving to every believer, gifts of healing. So every believer carries the gift of healing in him. Are you following me, friends? Now, so it's not like you're going to pray one day and God is going to send healing from heaven. The power of God to heal is resident inside the believer. And so you see why it's wrong for you to be sick? I said it's wrong for you to be sick. Oh. I was talking with a friend yesterday evening after the wedding, and he told me, we were talking about something. And he told me, say, man of God, to be poor is a sin. He said, to not have money. Now, that's not doctrine. I'm not saying it's correct, but he was telling him something that he passed through. He said, so after that, I told myself, to not have money is a sin. I just smiled. I said, well, you may not call it sin as per sin against God, but it is totally wrong not to have money. Say amen. I'm talking about legit money. Say amen. You're going to have it. That same way, it is wrong to be sick. It's wrong to be sick. How can you be that? How can you carry life inside of you? How can you carry Zoe inside of you? How can you carry the gifts of healing inside of you? The Holy Ghost, the embodiment of everything healing is, is living inside of you, and yet your ear is paining you. You have the Holy Ghost inside of you. You have the life of God. So it is wrong. You carrying all of this. It's not waste. The Bible tells us Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Talking about prayer and how prayers are answered. Pray it up. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Please watch this. Don't miss what I'm going to show you now. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask. You say, when you pray, God is able to do exceeding above all you ask or think. Now he now shows us how he will do it. How? According to the power that works in you. So when I pray for healing and God heals me, where did that power come from? Inside, the power that worketh in you. So that is the power working in every believer. So God's healing power is working in me. You know, this one statement that I use all the time. Every time I'm feeling funny in my body, you just hear me say things like, healing power is working in me. Then the choir should do a song. She should write a song. I thought about healing power. The healing power is working in me. Use that. I think that's a song, actually. Amen. Healing power is working in me. Are you following me? Healing power is working in me. I'm just saying that. Somebody's going to get it very soon. Healing power is working in me. Are you following me? God's healing power. So it's not like when I pray, power will now fly from heaven. Currently, whether I'm sick or not, healing power is working in me. God is working in my bones, working in my muscles. He's working on my organs. He's working on everything inside of me. He's working on my blood. He's working on my brain. Healing power is working in me. Hallelujah. So he's working on my bones. Oh, hallelujah. I live long. I live strong with nothing wrong. Healing power is working in me. That's why I believe that I can get older. And as I'm getting older, my bones are getting stronger. Because the power of God is working in my system, revitalizing my mortal body, giving life to my body. Healing power is working in my heart. Who are you getting me, friends? That's why there can be nothing like heart failure. Nothing like heart failure, sir. Our hearts don't fail. Power is working in the heart. Life is surging through the heart. Are you following me this morning, everybody? So healing power is working in you. Say, sir, but I'm still feeling pain. Healing power is working in you currently. Healing power is working in you currently. Healing power. Who has gotten the song? Hallelujah. Yes, come. Get a mic. Get a mic. Get a mic for him. Healing power is working in you currently. Get a mic. Ela daba kumbra de daba shata. Gule daba yaba kumbra. Yes, go ahead.
The Lord.
Yes, just go ahead.
God's healing power is at work in me. No sickness in here. No sickness in here.
Yes.
God's healing power is at work in me. No sickness in here.
Yes, 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 yes.
I work in hell.
Do it again.
God's healing power is at work in me. No sickness in me. No sickness in me.
Yes.
God's healing power is at work in me. Oh, no sickness in me. Shada barataya. God's healing.
Let's sing together, boy.
Is at work in no sickness,
no sickness,
no sickness.
Come on. Yes, 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 yes.
God's healing power is at work in me. No sickness.
Waiting well. Put on the drums, come on.
No sickness.
Listen, everybody, come on.
Oh, God's healing power is at work in no sickness.
No sickness, no sickness.
Oh, God's healing power.
God's healing power is at work in me.
No sickness, ah, yeah.
No sickness in me.
No sickness is
no sickness in me.
God's healing power
is at work in me.
Confess it, everybody.
Give a shout, all of us is blessed. God's healing power is working in me. No sickness in me. There's no sickness here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So have a song to do the next 6 months with. Whenever you feel any sickness, say, God's healing power is working in me. No sickness in me. We are those that live longer, live strong, with nothing wrong. No sickness in me. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands all over this place. Let's go to... Yes, yes, yes.
Don't think that
he calls healing power, God's healing power.
Inside walking me,
inside walking me,
yeah, inside
There's no sickness in us. There's no sickness in us.
Pray the Holy Ghost all over this place. Bela cro bela ta bradalia ba shata ga ya do sada.
God's healing power.
Yes.
It's at work in us.
E kale da barataya.
No sickness in us.
Ele mele bere bede la ba.
There's no sickness.
E kambra de colo do bo sobre da que brade la ba ya.
God's healing power. Even us through me.
E que bela da ya. Hallelujah.
There's no sickness in me.
Let's live strong. Everyone sing it.
I live strong. I live long with nothing wrong. There's no sickness in me. No sickness in me.
One last time. Testimony this morning. So you go home singing that. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. God's healing power is at work in me. God's healing power is at work in me. There's no sickness here. No sickness here. No sickness in my blood. No sickness in my veins. No sickness in my bones. No sickness in my body. No sickness in my body. No sickness in my body. Yeah. Glory. 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 No sickness in my body. I said no sickness in my body. I said no sickness in my body. No sickness here. This is a sickness free zone. I said this is a sickness free zone. This is a cancer free zone. Paralysis free zone. Headache free zone. Malaria free zone. Typhoid free zone. There's no sickness here. There's no ulcer in my body. There's no ulcer in my body. There's no pain in my body. No sickness here. I live long. I live strong. With nothing wrong. Hallelujah to Jesus. Give him praise all over this place this morning. Lift your hands. Give him praise. Hallelujah. That's the first set of impartations this morning. Did you receive that? God bless you. Be seated. Let's continue. That's just the first of impartation this morning. Glory to God. I just knew that was a song. Hallelujah. You know, God is helping us, right? Yeah. You know, I don't have to do much about writing songs. Yeah. Wait, as you get mature, I can pick up a song in the spirit and tell you what it's going to be. And then you find it. Amen. That's one thing you must do when you're preaching. As a preacher, as pastors, or be sensitive to the spirit. The statements you make, you know that's just a song right there. Yeah, you should be able to know that. Hallelujah. So I'm saying healing power is working in me. So even if you're feeling pains or whatever, you just got to believe that God's healing power
is working in your life currently as we speak. I want to tell some of you that they've ministered to you for healing before. Now, once I put my hand, hear this. I don't know why I'm going here now. Once I put my hand on you and say, be healed, it's not possible for me to put this away and nothing will happen. No, not because I'm Pastor Henry. I'm saying it's not possible for any believer to put, but Jesus tells us, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. Okay? It's not possible for you to speak God's word over your healing and you will not be healed. So when you say that, I'm still feeling the pain. What happened is that God's healing power began to walk. It just begins to walk inside of you. Now, that's why you must, I'm running out of myself, but that's why you must insist on that healing. Because it's working. You can stop the working of healing. So basically, the healing gets started, but it never manifests. Because they stopped its work. Are you what I'm saying? Glory to God. So healing power is working in me. So God is a healer. Keep that in your head. God is a healer. So know these things. And let me just quickly share with you. How do I begin to release faith for my healing? Of course, we've started already. Feed on the word of God. There is no healing that can be sustained without feeding on God's word. I want to say something to you guys. You see, without this teaching, as in without doing this teaching, I can come up here and ask you to raise up your hand and pray for you, and you will get healed instantly. You don't actually need this teaching to be healed. I want to hear what I'm going to say. Because many people don't know. That's why we go to crusades, less than 20 minutes message, people are getting healed. But I'm talking about walking in divine healing, walking in divine health. Because the thing is, they can get healed today and lose it the next minute. Because whatever you do not receive through a process, you can easily lose. You must know how to engage healing. I've been healed of sicknesses that has never come back to my life again. Never. If they ever try to surface, I know what to do. So the first thing is, feed on the word of God. Feed on God's word. Psalm 107 tells us in verse 20 that he sent forth his word. He sent forth his word, and his word healed them and delivered them from the destruction. So God's word is what brings healing. Listen, I said it the first day, I want to say it again. If you are not a word person and a prayer person, you cannot be a faith person. You see, it's not magic. It's unbelief. What are you believing God for? What you know, what you don't know. There has to be sufficient knowledge in your head for you to now know what you're believing for. That's why you want to walk in divine health. Feed on God's word. Stay on God's word. Eat the word. Read it. Meditate, study every day. If you can stay on the word long enough, it will get into your bones. You know, the word of God is so powerful. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4 verse 20. Let me show you this. Proverbs 4:20. Look at that. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them. So you see where to keep the word of God? In the midst of your heart. That's where to keep the word of God. And how do you put the word of God in your heart? You have to stay on it for long. That you heard me say something once doesn't mean God's word has entered your heart. When you hear me say something once, it enters your head. Do you remember I shared this on Thursday? Let me show you that scripture again. Mark 4 verse 20. I'm coming back to this. Is it Mark 4? Mark 4:24. Amplified Classic. Let me read this again. Look at this. He said to them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. So it's not enough to hear something. It is the measure of thought and study. So that I'm just saying, God is a healer, God is a healer. We know all these things, sir. Why am I still sick? The measure of thought and study. So someone is going to hear me this morning and just will go home and say, I've heard. Another person is going to hear me and go and stay on this word and start eating it. Hear the messages again. This is the God's word again. Feed on it. The measure of thought. So virtue does not come to you just because you heard pastor preach. Virtue comes to you by the measure of thought and study you give to it. That's how we can all be here and we say we're getting blessed. Yet, not everybody will have the result. When the word went forth, some fell on stones,
Some fell on thorny grounds. You know the thing, even the ones that fell on good soil, don't miss this, they not produce fruit the same way. Bible says some produce 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. So we can all hear the same word, but we will not all have the same results. The measure of thought and study. Are you following me, friends? So you go home and begin to eat the word. That's what Proverbs is saying, chapter 4, verse 21. My son, keep this word in the midst of your heart. Give it thought. Give it study. Pay attention to it. I've many years ago in my Christian walk, ransacked everywhere the word healing, help, everything in the Bible about healing. For weeks, my dad had a very big study Bible, very big concordance. I don't even know where that thing is again. We dealt with that book. Sometimes in one day, four people used it at the same time. So I used it. People just struggling to use it. I ate healing. And I'm still doing it now. Because when you keep doing the midst of that, now see what happens in verse 22. Read, watch. For they are what? Life. Life. Life to those that find them. Word of God is life. And health to their flesh. So when you keep the word of God in your heart, it will become health to your flesh. So the word of God in your heart can affect your flesh. Oh, are you following what I'm saying? Put up like another translation of this verse. NLT or anything. Look closely. For they bring life to those who find them. And healing to their whole body. Keep changing. And by Christ, for they are life to those who find them. And health to all their flesh. Message. Those who discover this was live. Really live. Body and soul. They are bursting with health. So you want to burst with health. Hide the word of God. Stay on God's word. A particular translation of this verse said, for the word of God is medicine to them. So the same way you fall sick, hear this. Now there are two kinds of medicines. Okay, there is one you take as vaccination to immunize yourself. If you take it, you will never fall sick again. You know, affected by that. You know, there is, I think there's polio. There's polio vaccine. When you take it, the chances are polio will never hit you again. So even if you are exposed to polio, it won't affect you. And there are some others you take that will begin to repair your body. The word of God is both of them. It immunizes you, yet it repairs your body. So if you take it long enough, whenever any sickness wants to come, that word will fight it. Are you following me, friends? You know, in the human body, there is something they call, I hope I don't just embarrass myself here. There's something they call white blood cell. Right? Well, nothing head. People know it. Who is nothing head? There's something called white blood cell. Let me see if you know the head again. I'll ask you to explain. There's something they call white blood cell. Should I call it to explain? What does it do? Huh? Nah, Biakwa. Who will I give mic now? Huh? Pastor Casey? Yes, yes, yes. What does white blood cell do? The white blood cell protects the body. Abby? You know, and this is why, you know, when I think about the human body and I see whatever, what God has done with the human body and all that, I think it's God actually never wanted us to be sick in the first place. I get the point. As in, look at him, he never really wanted us to ever fall sick. And that's why when you begin to keep the word of God in your heart, it is medicine to your soul. Store the word in your heart, sir. So we want to walk in faith for healing, stay on the word. Stop visiting your Bible. Read your Bible every day. Stop visiting church. Always be in church. Let me say this to you. You can come here and I pray for you to receive your healing and you go. You will lose the healing. Even if you don't lose that healing, another sickness will come. If I cure you of headache, pain will come. If you come, the devil will keep fighting. That's why you need some kind of spiritual stamina. That's why you don't hear the word of God once in a year. Because at least you don't eat once in a day. At least many of us eat at least two times in a day.
Even people eating two times in a day, it's because they don't have enough food. If they have enough food, they will eat four times. I get what I'm saying. Stone the wall. If you eat once in a week, hear this, just once every week, and you eventually fall sick, are you supposed to complain? Like if throughout the week you just ate, but it was a good meal, low, delicious, sumptuous, pounded yam and what do you like? You eat it, but you just ate it on Monday. You don't have to eat it again. See, next month, you might not even reach next Monday. So how come you expect to just come to church on Sunday, the day you remember to come, and then hear good preaching, and then you don't come to church again, you don't open your Bible, you don't listen to messages, you don't read your Bible, and you expect that somehow you're just going to be fine. You're not going to be fine. Let this word stay in your heart. Incline thy ears to them. Think about technology. You have messages you can begin to listen to every day, every week, every time. Let the word of God be entering. When you are done, meditate upon them. They will become health to your flesh. Shout amen, somebody. Become health to your flesh. So eat the word of God. Taking God's word. You want to be in divine health? It's not difficult. Just stay on God's word. Not once in a while. Stay there. Amen. Passion Translation said, then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So stay on God's word. Are you still here? Stay on God's word. Want to be in healing? Want to be in health? Stay on God's word. Number two. Of course, if I talk about speak, after staying on God's word, you must learn to speak God's word. One way to stay on God's word is to speak it. You know, I've been talking about confession throughout this series. There is no act of faith. There is no work of faith that is not associated with confession. There is nothing like silent faith. I've told that, right? You can never say, I'm in faith and you're quiet. It's not possible. And so when people don't say, that's why we did this song this morning, I live long. You must say these things to yourself all the time. Because once you are not talking and speaking over your health, you are not in faith. You know this one, I'm just believing God now. We are believing God. That's not faith. That's not faith. You see, this is, he has formula. It's not faith. Say, how are you doing? Say, I need a chineke. That's not faith. Are you getting the point? You are tired already. That's what it means. What do you do every day? You get up and you speak God's word. Life is working in me. There's those things. I say it all the time. There's those things in my body. Speak God's word all the time. Daily. Proverbs, I think 18, verse 20. Hallelujah. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. So what will satisfy your belly is your mouth, what you're saying. So if all you're saying is, life is hard, this sickness won't kill me. Okay? That is what your belly will be satisfied with. I had a dear woman of God share the story of how she died. God had mercy on her and brought her back. But she died. She said she was sick. There was this sickness that comes once in a while. She began to refer to that sickness as my sickness. So my friend, this is my sickness, I've come back again. This, as long as you talk like that, this is my headache has come back. Your headache? So eventually, one day, you know, you can't see she died. But saints gathered around her and began to pray. And God said, you're going to go back. But say, let me show you something. He said, you've been referring to this sickness as yours. That's why it has never left you. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Whether in your daily conversation or during your confession time, never speak out. Now, I'm not just saying in prayer. In your daily, you know, some of you, I was saying it on Thursday. Some of us finish speaking in prayer. Oh, life is working in me. Then when you now start conversing with people, you begin to talk rubbish. Say, now, wow. This pain, you know, anytime it comes, I'm finished. Now, I'm not saying faith does not deny reality. It's not like you're feeling pain and they say, how are you feeling? You say, I'm fine. You're lying. Faith doesn't deny reality. Faith actually exalts the truth of God's word above the reality. So I can tell you, well, my stomach still hurts, but I know I'm fine. Healing power is working in me. That's how you hear me talk. So how's the headache? Say, well, I still feel pains, but then God's power is working in me. I'm getting better. That's how to talk. Then you now get your own personal confession time every day. Say, in the name of Jesus, there's no sickness in my body. This pain be gone. So the prince told us of how he spoke over a pain in his wrist for long, every day. In the name of Jesus. No, it wasn't a pain, it was a growth. So he did that every day. Till sometime he stopped speaking, if I even forgot to speak again. The day he now remember to speak again, he said, he checked the growth was somewhere there. That's how it works. You keep speaking, God's power is working in me, healing power is working in me. Let's, every time, no sin is my body, this pain be gone in Jesus' name. So can I command pain to go today and still command it tomorrow? Why not? You're not in doubt. You're in faith. You're in faith because you know God's position on the matter. So when you keep speaking God's word, you are insisting on God's position. God already said, I want to heal you. So every time you are saying that, you are agreeing with what God already said. Are you following me, friends? Every day. Oh, your teeth is paining you. In the name of Jesus, teeth pain, you are gone. This hole, you are filled up. This hole, you are filled up. You do that. Come back at night. In the name of Jesus, this hole. Who has ever received healing by confessing God? Let me see your hand. Yeah. Realize though. This hole, you are filled up. In Jesus, this hole, you are filled up. I've seen healings happen. One of our dear ones had a baby and it was via surgery. You know, CS and all that. After some time, there are complications. So she started me up. I said, what's happening? She told me, I said, I'm going to go see my doctor tomorrow. I said, you go see your doctor. He will tell her that there is nothing wrong. By the time she went to see her doctor, the doctor looked at her and was like, why did you come? She said, there is nothing I'm seeing here. That's the healing power of God. I said, once I'm done speaking, I told her, I said, everything I tell you, keep saying it until you go to see your doctor. So after she remembered, I said, oh, dad said, there's no sickness in my body. So there's no sickness in my body. There's no complication. Opening is closing up. Wounds are healing every day. Back to back. Back to every day. Every day. Go to the hospital and say, why did you come in the first place? Check now. And by the time the doctor said check, for real, she checked. She told me, so surprisingly I checked. I didn't even know why I came in the first place. Are you following me, friends? Healing power is working in you. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Verse 31. Death and life, that's next verse, are in the power of the tongue. They that love you shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life, tongue. Shout amen. Death and life, the tongue. So you want death, speak death. You want life, speak life. Every day. I say it again. There is nothing like silent faith. It has never existed. I'm trusting God to pass my exam. How are you trusting God? So I'm trusting him now. Trusting God is activity. What are you doing as you're trusting God? You must be talking. You must be acting, taking steps. That's trusting God. Waiting upon the Lord is not sitting in one place and crossing your leg. Abraham waited upon the Lord, giving glory to God. Remember that? Romans 4. Was strong in faith. So what was Abraham doing while he was waiting upon the Lord? He was talking. Oh, thank you, Father. My baby is here. Thank you, Father. My baby is here. Isaac is coming. Isaac is here now. I carry my Isaac. Everything you're speaking. So if you are in faith, you will know. If you're not in faith, you will know you are not. Pick up any matter, sir. Any matter. Give it 6 months. Speak morning and night. Even if the devil becomes twins. Any matter. Wake up in the morning. Speak God's word. That, I said, no matter any issue, no matter how big it is, woke up, declare loud. Now, when I say talk, don't talk in your heart. Of course, you don't talk in your heart. Do you talk in your heart? Say, sir, when people hear me talking, they will say I'm mad. That's actually what you are supposed to be. Wake up, everyone, you shout, shout, shout. Go and shout, shout. This house will be in faith. Want to travel and there is fear. What if the plane does? What if attack that fear with words? Don't stir your heart and say, Jesus, God forbid. God forbid. The devil is already talking to you. You have to reply. I showed you that the first day, right? Jesus said fig tree. Bible said, and Jesus answered and said. And nobody spoke. Jesus answered the fig tree. How do you answer fig tree?
Jesus answered the fig tree and said. To hear answered, it means fig tree said something to him. Every time sickness is talking to you, you must answer. Are you getting the point? When you feel a pain in your leg, you must answer. You feel headache, answer. Are you getting the point? Because I wanted to say it at the end, but let me say this now. You must learn to be aggressive against sickness. And learn to attack sickness from the point of symptoms. Say, sir, there is nothing wrong with me. Just one small pain here. Every small pain here, there's actually something bigger that it signifies. But most times we ignore it and say it's just a small pain. Nothing serious. Until it escalates. When there is a pain you don't like in your body, you're not a doctor. You don't know what it means. So start attacking it. I don't like this pain. So this pain and whatever you represent, be gone. Are you following me, friends? Every day. Being in divine health is very possible. And you know what I've observed about the devil? The devil loves it when you ignore him. Yeah. When you ignore him, so when they pain in your body and you say, you never take note of it to talk, Satan lies, he will keep thriving. The Bible never said ignore the devil and he will flee. Ignore him, he will stay. Resist him, he will go. So I just say, have you observed that if there is a pain or there is a growth in your body, do you have a growth in your body? There's not really pain in you. But it's there. It will never go. Why? It's not a big deal. So the devil likes when you ignore him. Say, I don't notice I'm here. I'll just be here. We'll just be sharing apartments. Don't worry. I'm not going to worry you. Don't do that. Amen. Something that was happening to me some time ago, and it wasn't really a big deal for me. It was something I could manage. I wanted the Holy Ghost to say to me, have you observed that you've not really addressed this matter to go? It will stay. I said, okay. I know the game. And follow me, friends. Insist on God's word. Speak God's word. Attack sickness aggressively. And as I'm going to wind down, okay, I want to say just one very important thing, that God put in my heart. Proverbs 17 verse 22 about healing and faith for healing. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A broken spirit dryeth the bones. See, if you're going to be a person that will live in divine health, stay joyful. Now, I'm being very sincere. I'm not talking about this one you do in church. Oh, glory, glory. Stay joyful. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. Put up another translation. NLT, anything. A cheerful heart is good medicine. A broken spirit saps a person's strength. Amplified Classic. A happy heart is good medicine. And cheerful mind works healing. But broken spirit dries up the bones. I'm going to give you a very powerful secret. People who are always bitter, down, terrible, angry people will always be sick. Everybody. Now, I am not saying that anybody that is sick, that's the problem. But anybody that is, you know why? I already showed you a scripture in Ephesians 4. He said, verse 26, be angry and sin not. Neither let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Because once you allow the sun go down on your wrath, you allow anger to stay, you've opened the door for the devil. Amplified Classic said, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Once you allow anger, hurt, stay, you're going to give it for the devil. So Proverbs tells us, a merry heart is medicine. And I think this is one of the secrets I have. You can't find me angry with anybody. Bitter. Depressed. Okay, have you observed that every time you get depressed, you fall sick. Have you observed this? Every time. Once you get depressed, before you know, this one, have you ever laid down on the bed for 3 days depressed and you get up very tired? And in 3 days you are eating. It's not like you're hungry. You get very tired before you know your bones begin to pain you. It's like, where is the only one coming from? A merry heart is medicine. A broken spirit. God put this very strong in my heart this morning. I've never been direct on this like this. A broken spirit will dry up the bones. Probably like message. What's the Bible? A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. My God. Every time you face, who is angry with you? Are you angry with? Let me say this to you. Don't be the kind of Christian who cannot easily let go of things. You're going to be an easy prey for the devil. I got what I'm saying. But I again categorically told people, say some of you will not live long. And he told them because you are not walking in love. And everything he said happened. In fact, at the time he almost bragged and told them, I'm going to outlive all of you. For real. Because you keep so much. Ministry, for instance, is a place where hurts happen every now and then. People are saying this, people are fighting. You cannot let that live in your heart. You're going to open the door for the devil into your life. And you know, if you let the devil, he never stops. Say, sir, but won't God heal me? He will heal you. But what you find out is that if you always allow bitterness, hurts, pain in your heart, you always be going around a cycle. You know what the cycle is? Get sick, get healed, get sick. It's going to be like that. Because you know, healing is an act of God's mercy. Do you remember? So God is not going to say, I will not heal you because you are, but no, he will heal you. But the cycle will be, get sick, get healed. Get sick, get healed. Same cycle. Clear your heart. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. That's why depressed people are always sick. If we're not treating this, we're treating that. Why should somebody even do something to you and you hold it for that long? You've not heard that the Bible tells us that offenses must come. It's a question of when. Of if. It's a question of when. How can you be that bitter? And you wonder why you're always sick. You wonder why your finance is falling apart. Because he says, so does bitterness make people's finance fall apart? No. Bitterness opens door for the devil to come in. And the devil can do anything. He might be a coincidence. He can do anything. Do you have another translation of this? Because we're running them already. Another translation? Being cheerful keeps you healthy. Now, this is not just, God's word is not an advice. It's not like, I'm giving motivational speaking. Be happy, be cheerful. The Bible said being cheerful keeps you healthy. What's all these things you hold up in your heart? Why is this not working? Loosen up. Sometimes, a lady met me some time ago. I was telling me about a rape case. Very terrible story. You know, she was pursued out of the house and then she was lying down somewhere and four men came. Real life story. Very painful stuff. Took their tongues, messed her up. So by the time I met her, this had happened like about 8 or 10 years ago. But she was still, So I asked her one question. I said, do you think that those men that did that thing to you, do you think they still remember you? Do you think they remember your face? Do you think they remember they did those things to you? I said, I don't care. I said, that's the point. So if the real people that committed the crime, the people that should go to hell, if they've been able to forget you, why can't you trust off your mind? Listen, let me say this to you. Hear me. There's a lot of rubbish going in our generation with emotional talks. Trauma. Emotional talk. There's another one they're calling. They say mental health. Hear me. That thing is just a way of making excuses for people to remain down. So I understand your pain. Don't understand my pain. I want to be free from I don't need to understand. I want to be free from the pain. What do you need? Understanding of freedom. All these talks that appeal to people's psyche. About, I know you're going through a lot. Take it easy. Don't force anybody to be fine. I have to force you to be fine for your own good. And let me say this to you. If you stay bitter for a very long time, you're going to begin to lose friends. I've explained this to you. When you are sick, if you fall sick, notice the first 1 week you are sick and you're in the hospital, people rally around you. If that sickness begins to extend to like 3-4 months, people will go. It's not because they're angry with you. They have to go on with their own lives.
I get what I'm saying.
The point is, whenever we are with you in the hospital, we expect that very soon you should be out of here. So when things go wrong with you and you are bitter, you are hurting, and your friends come around you, they expect that very soon you should come out from this mess. If after 6 months you are still there, they're going to leave you and they will go. And that's a wise thing to do. Because they don't leave you, you begin to infect them with that rubbish. Look at this script again. Being cheerful keeps you healthy. It is slow death to be gloomy all the time. It is what? You'll be dying slowly. That's why if you know me very well, I'm someone that, if you're very close to me, I came here, I've been through, call it pain, call it anything. People, from the day I said I was going to do ministry, it's one fight after another. Some of you know, from all over the place, from prison authority. Well, if you search my heart, you can't find any of those things. No pain. And I don't pretend. I'm not pretending that if I'm angry with you, you know. But there's no pain. Sometimes everyone wants to be angry. But it's not anywhere in my heart. Slow death. Put this scripture on your status. Everywhere. Being cheerful keeps you healthy. So you see all this. Every time I teach you on faith, I always leave you with an instruction. You observe that this is an instruction now. Every time I'm confessing, I'm healthy, I'm walking in health, and yet, you cannot. What's wrong with you? Why are you like that? Guy, be alive. Because the people you are angry with are moving on with their lives. You know, life is progressing. Wait for nobody. Just yesterday, I found out that one of the guys that joined us very early in the very, very early days of this ministry, very early days. Because he did some stops and then I tried to stop him, he refused to be stopped, so he went. And then, you know, once you move, we keep moving. Now, many years later, I'm hearing from some of my friends that came around yesterday for the wedding that the guy has been complaining that I pursued him out of church. He has been bitter and angry. After many years, they don't should push people from church. See, if I wake up tomorrow and say, of course, that never happened. I didn't push him. He came and told me he wanted to go. I should pray for him and release him. And I put my hands and I said, I pray for you and release you. Go in Jesus' name. Is that the problem? But even if they push you from church, they come to you and they say, don't come here again. You know, a father cannot actually disown a child, except the child wants to be disowned. But a logical father said, don't come back to this house again. If you go, you wanted to go. But this guy carried this pain. You know, that's why every time you are fighting, that's why every day you'll be doing spiritual warfare. You are done with this battle. The next battle opens up. Why? There is a free entrance for the devil into your space. That's why most times for physical healing to be sustained and to last, it has to start from emotional healing. And hear me, friends. Don't listen to anybody pampering you. Let the word of God work on your heart. Get off that rubbish that is happening to you. Carrying pain. And that, you know why pain is painful? And it is more painful when the person you are angry with is succeeding. You are very, very angry with me and I get a new car. You're angry with me, I'm building a house. He said, forget, is that about building? Is that about car? You have to let go of things so that when your enemy, in quotes, succeeds, you are happy. Genuinely happy. I get the point. Because that brother saying that he's saying now would have been happy if he had looked at us 8 years after. And then there's nothing to say about us. You say, thank God I left. The real pain is when you are fighting someone
it's progressing. That's why I say to couples, thank God I'm not married, okay? So when I say to, every time I say to couples, I'm not talking to myself now. I say to couples all the time, I say, if you don't want the devil in your space, even in the life of your children, don't create an atmosphere full of heaviness, bitterness, anger, tension. I know you are trying to be wise. You are trying to stop the children from knowing it's happening. But the important thing is that the devil knows it is happening. Once that happens, you open the door for the devil to come in. They begin to afflict those children. These are very strong words this morning. There will be quarrels and all that. But make sure there is no room for plenty tension in the house. For long. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 1 week. Then you wonder why that is. Your finances will begin to suffer. Everything will begin to suffer. Because you just told the devil, you can have your way now. And I have taught you, if you let the devil, he will never stop. You don't think he's going to deal with you to a point and then you just say, okay, I think I'm done now. I'm done with you. He will never be done. Until he kills you forever. Amen. You've got to be cheerful. And let go of things very easily. Don't permit depression in your life. You know the thing about depression? Everyone that gets depressed has a legitimate reason why he or she is depressed. If they talk to you, yourself, you'll be shocked. You say, oh, wow, I understand you. That's why you're also a bad friend. You know everything people tell you and you say you understand. Sometimes you got to help them out. You don't tell you to understand them. It's for you to help them. So people say, I'm depressed because I failed the exams. I know people that failed the exams. I'm depressed because my marriage didn't work. I'm depressed. All of those things are legitimate reasons. But can I tell you, the true cause of depression is demon. It is demonic. The true cause of it. I've seen someone go mad from depression. That's the kind of case. Become totally mad, like mentally deranged by being down until you know, you begin to hear things, you begin to hear voices, and some of you have almost been there. Go to hear rubbish, say, I'm just so down. You're not going to see vision. You know, I taught you last month, use your pain well. Do you remember that teaching? Adversities, use your pain well. I suppose for pain, there's a reason, there's something good that can come out of your pain. Don't stay down. Don't be depressed. It's okay to be down for a day. A day is even too much. 24 hours is too much. But then, even if that's the case, but 3 days, 1 week, that what happened? 2 weeks, 1 month, you want to wreck your life? 6 months. Do you know, have you seen people that are very rich, but are depressed? You know, some people are rich today because they're working so hard to prove a point to somebody. To show somebody that I can also succeed. You are working hard and bitterness is your motivation. You will have the money. But there is still an emptiness. And the more painful one is when you find out you think you don't have money, you're going to go and show the person shege. And you come and the person that you're talking to, actually very rich too. Imagine Jacob caught Esau and ran away. By the time Esau was coming back to meet Jacob, Jacob was also wealthy. Everybody was fine. Still be hot in your heart. Don't allow depression. Let's read this again like a mass choir. Read it again. Being cheerful keeps you healthy. To be gloomy all the time. You know, I'm teaching on divine healing this morning, right? But I just felt that instruction was very necessary. Don't let, you know, that was the major thing I was meditating on this morning. Okay? Don't let the devil keep you down. The Passion Translation says, a joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. The Bible is clear. The one whose heart is crushed, sickness, depression. I told you guys how I went to pray for someone, go to the family. And someone had just poisoned their pot of food. And people had died. The siblings had died. And I told the person, After praying, I encouraged him. I said, you have to forgive this person. And the guy, the woman almost said, had it been, I know you now. And I said, you have to forgive the person. And I said, the point is, now forgiveness does not mean you get back into his space and give him permission to hurt you again. That's what I'm saying. You know, forgiveness is not reconciliation. No, it's not. I can forgive you, but then it doesn't mean if I forgive you and our values don't match again, you just go your way and I'm fine. But I said, if you keep staying like this, not very long from now, you too will die. Not because anybody will poison you. You are so much in bitterness. Say, Pastor, just go. I know what happened. I say, you will kill yourself. Let go of things. If you have proof that he killed your people and all that, get him arrested. Yeah, that's my thing. Let the Lord deal with him. I'm not always like that. Get him arrested. But keeping such a thing in your heart, it's going to destroy your life. It's going to stop your own progress. You know what I'm saying? I told the sister, I was talking about the rape thing. And I said, someone raped me. I said, if you know them, get them arrested. Let them face the full wrath of the law. But you cannot keep that in your heart for a long time. It's wickedness to your own body. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. Says the word of God. So you see, as we are singing this morning, okay, I live long, I live strong with nothing wrong, no sickness in me. Make sure that there is no depression in you too. No bitterness in you. Are you following me, friends? No hurts in you. No weakness, no tiredness. Sometimes it's not even about hurt. Sometimes, have you got to the point in your life where you are just tired of life, just lying down? A crushed spirit. That sickness that's coming your way. Be alive. Be hopeful. Stay cheerful. Give no room to the devil. He has never won, he will not win. I get to the point. He has never won, he will never win. A cheerful heart brings healing. A crushed spirit dries up the bones. And you won't give room for that. I learned something. Finally, if I leave you, insist on your healing. You see, don't permit sickness in your life. Everything I've taught you about engaging the power of God for divine healing this morning, speaking the word of God, declaring God's word and all that, be very stubborn. Now, I already showed you that healing is God's will for your life. So why will you accept anything less of the will of God for you? That's why I don't accommodate. Say it's just a small pain. I fight it. I take up God's word and I begin to speak in the name of Jesus. This pain, you are gone. Until it's really gone. Because you think you're going to leave the devil, it's just a small pain. When he's done, the thing will come. We go. No. No. It will be from one issue to another issue. Now, somebody just asked me a question now. Can I take drugs? Let me help you with that answer before we close. Yes, you can take drugs. But there's nothing wrong with taking medications. You need to realize God is not against medical science. However, pray a lot. Read God's word. Speak God's word a lot. Make sure that your faith is not in medical science. Because experience would have taught you that there will be a level you get to, medical science will stop. Now, if all your faith has been on medical science, by the time the doctor says, sir, there is no more hope for you, what are you going to do? You now pack up. I've shared this story with you recently. Well, there, Christian Center, just behind Parkland. You remember that year? Zoe 2020. We just finished a meeting and we're packing up Sunday morning. Packing up. And this man runs into how many of you remember that day? Yeah. Runs into the hall. Where is Pastor? Where is Pastor? I don't know him from anywhere. And I said, where is Pastor? Where is Pastor? I'm looking for Pastor. You know the case? The wife was having an issue in the hospital. And the doctor had called him to say, are you a Christian or a Muslim? He said, Christian. He said, let me be sincere to you. We've gotten to the end of our road here. There is nothing else we can do. If you can pray or you need anybody, bring them. So the guy was just inside Parkland. I heard a song and what have you. He ran from there. Came to the place. He said, they've been hearing us throughout the weekend as we're praying and all that. He said, God, please help my life. I just finished the meeting. I was very tired. I don't even think I saw him at all. So just informed me. They said, somebody's waiting. I said, well, I sent two of our people here. I think it was Brarins and Victor. Yes. I said, you go to the hospital and hold on. And the woman was just, came back fully well. Where medicine had given up. Now, if all your faith is in drugs, that's why I will never tell you not to take drugs. But make sure that you are taking the drugs, you are confessing the word, you are sitting on God's word, you are not building your faith in that medication, because by the time they tell you there is no more hope, what are you going to do? I get what I'm talking about. What are you going to do? But I tell you, this is stage 4 cancer. We just have to do what they call that thing, chemotherapy, right? And chemotherapy means let's delay your life till the day you eventually die. So what are you going to do? You accept it? That's why you see many people, you know, you get this Igbo slogan, Ejiro Anyome Ejuke Ekwere. Yes, you know the reason is because people don't know how to engage part of God for healing. So when things really get bad, people begin to offer them solutions. I know one man. I know one guy. There's one village. There's somebody I know. And they will fall for it. Because as far as that concept, just one solution. That man that ran into that hall to ask us for prayer. What if we were not good people? What if we were all these prophets that would say, before we pray for you, bring money. I just tell him, well, okay. 200,000, let's start. And he was ready for anything. Where your doctor has told you it's over. 200,000, two pigeons. One ram. Imagine. Build your faith for healing. If you're taking drugs, please confess God's word. Learn God's word. Stay on it. Let it get into your system and your bones. Speak it aloud. Believe God's word too much. That when they say it's over, you tell them I'm coming. Or are you following me, friends? You go stay on God's word, you declare it, you confess it until it works. So when he's saying, how long will I confess God before it works? Until it works. I've told this story many times. Dr. Clifford Dollar, even last month or so, he posted it on Instagram. He has survived cancer 2 times. Stage 4, 2 times. Once he enters the hospital, and they say, oh, it's over. You have this, that. The last one was prostrate. They say surgery and all that. He told them, well, I'm coming. Shut down everywhere in the name of Jesus. After some time, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, he went back and said, check me again. Of course, the man has, I wish I had more than, the man has other things he's doing too. Because now I've taught you, you cannot be, I don't know why God breathed my hand now, you cannot be acting by faith and be killing yourself with your diet. I just had to drop that. Okay? See, health is working in me. Yes, you eat like a criminal. So there's that balance too. I get what I'm saying. You can't say you're in faith and you're eating like a criminal. Bread and suya by 2 a.m. Gnashing of teeth. So there is that balance too. But then, survive 2 times. This is someone that should have died like 10 years ago or so. By medical whatever. Doctors can say, we know our sister here now, 2 people here now, have been healed of one of them, cancer of the bones in this church. I don't remember. Cancer of the bone marrow. Here. Doctor said, oh, that's the end. In fact, she told me that when she went to see the doctor said she should be encouraged that this sickness, when they may talk like that, some people can even live up to 2-3 years. Imagine the encouragement. A girl in first year, second year. Say, just be encouraged. It doesn't kill that quickly. Someone will still have to, if you have a strong heart, you know, low 2 or 3 years. And that's meant to be an encouragement. Yeah, I'll live up to 3 years. You can stand on God's word. We can insist on God's word. And yes, we did insist. And God did not fail. I get to the point. God did not fail. Here, the testament that was took here last December. The lady that was put for surgery. Same principle I'm teaching you.
She came to my office and said, ah, sir, you know,
I wish she's here. Okay, she's not here. I wish she's here. I wanted to say this in her presence. Because she was even angry with me at the time. And some of her friends said no. Very angry. Because she came to me and said, take these messages, listen to them, feed on them, you'll be fine. And then she started calling after that. Of course, it's not me that will pick up your call. I wasn't saying the call. You know, sometimes, for you to give people what they really want, it's not about being emotional. You didn't tell me about your sickness so that I can sympathize with you. If it's sympathy you want, fine, I'll pick. I'm saying sorry. So, how is your busy pain? Is your back pain? Is your ear pain? I've given you, it's just like a doctor calls you and says, take this drug, 2 times a night, and you say, oh, you're not a good person, and I'm not going to check up on me. Okay, take your drugs. So she was angry. I heard she was angry. Oh, she's angry. That pastor, I was for real, I wasn't taking, I didn't know. It wasn't deliberate at first. When I now found out that she was angry, I said, okay, no more. I'm going to take a call again. So I told people that told me, I said, tell her, I said, I've given you what to do. If you want me to sympathize with you, I will sympathize. But that's not what you want. Eat the word of God. Stay on it. If you want sympathy, get it. But if you want healing, go for the word. Stay on it. Stay on it. Hallelujah. Pastor Joel lost his mom. Diagnosed of cancer. Same story. Stayed on the word of God. These things are everywhere. So the fact that people are dying all over the world does not mean death will come to you too. Let me close by saying, every system, every cult, every religion, whatever you call them, okay, somehow they believe in some sort of spiritual powers. So people can tell you, if you are sick and you're a traditionalist, I know somebody I can take you to. They will do whatever and treat you diabolically. If you believe that people can be treated diabolically and they get well, why won't you believe God's word? I get what I'm saying. Why won't you stand on God's word? Take up God's word. Stand with it. Preserve it. Hear me, friends? The devil will come for your health. That's not a prayer. That's a fact. And it's not a God forbidding. He will come for your kids. He will come for your wealth, for your money. You have to learn how to resist the devil and stand firm and say, not here, Satan. Stand on the word of God. Remember, it's a sickness-free zone. It's a pain-free zone. Cancer-free zone. Malaria-free zone. Paralysis free zone. There's no cancer here. There's no pain here. There's no ulcer here. There's no hypertension here. Stand on God's word. Finally, somebody just spoke to me now. Says, if this thing you're saying is true, I know somebody that served God and all that, but still died. Sickness killed the person. I know someone that served God, you know, and after serving God for a very long time, he still died in an accident. I know that. But you see, I wouldn't want you to put your faith on people's experiences. Let me say this to you. You see, what I'm teaching you this morning is true. It's not true because I'm the one saying it. It's true because it's in God's word. Even if I don't have the result, it's still true. I get what I'm saying. That's the fact. It is God's word. It's not because it's working. So if you say, I know someone that served God for 10 years and is still very broke. And you're telling me that somebody can serve God. Well, I've seen such people too. But I also know some other people who have served God and he has lifted them up. And that's your own story. So the question is, where will you have to choose your own side. You see, in this world, there will always be two sets of people. Everywhere. There will be the poor, there will be the rich. There will be the healthy, there will be the sick. Choose where you want to be. There will be the wealthy, there will be the poor. Jesus told them, the poor will never be lacking in your midst. Jesus himself said it.
So there will always be poor and sick people all over the place. Choose the side you want to be on. A friend of mine went to prison. He was telling me recently, you know, the amazing thing about he told me, he said, do I know that even in prison, that like him, God gave him favor there. Third the time he was there, real life story. Third time he was there, said he was sleeping on a good mattress, he had access to phone, he was washing his clothes, cleaning his clothes, everything, he was in prison. So he told me, he said, even in prison, there is still the poor and the rich. I got what I'm saying? Everywhere, there is still the wealthy and the struggling. There is still the sick and the healthy. I know where I want to stand. Even among saints, there are sick people, there are healthy people. So I'm going to take up God's word and insist on it. No sickness in my body. I live long. I live strong. With nothing wrong. I want to hear that. I live long. I live strong. With nothing wrong. Let's take that song again. God's healing power is at work in me. Oh, hallelujah. Hilabaronda velataya. Lift your hands. We're going to dance to that. Sing with all your heart. And then we close this morning. No sickness in me. You're going to speak God's word like you know it. That song just came this morning. Are you blessed by that?
Is at work in me.
Yes, yes, yes. Come on.
No sickness in me.
Yes.
No sickness in me. God's healing power.
Come on. Yes.
Do it again.
Say, Ali strong, Ali.
Yes.
Oh, no.
On top of my voice.
Ali strong, Ali.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
For the last time now.
Say, Ali strong, Ali strong.
Yes. In the spirit of that, lift your hands. If there's any sickness, any pain in any part of your body, take the next 3 minutes, address it this morning. Healing is going to flow through this place this morning now. Use your voice. Any pain, any sickness, any health challenge, the power of God is mighty here this morning. Any health challenge, any health situation, Elamarada Balataya, every health condition, every health condition, every health condition, address it by the power of God this morning. Address it by the power of God this morning. Your own tongue is powerful. Your own words are powerful. So address it by the power of God this morning. Say something. Command the pain to go. Command the pain to go. Healing power is working here right now. Healing power is working here right now. Yes, 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 yes.
Elana Malata Baya. Oh, I live strong. I live long.
Address every sickness. Oh, Lana Bashataya.
God's healing power, healing power, it flows through me. Oh, I live strong. I live long with nothing wrong.
Yes.
God's healing power, He's at work in me. Oh, I live strong, oh, I live long with nothing wrong. God's healing power, He's at work in me. Yes,
healing is flowing through this place this morning. I'd like you to place your right hand wherever you feel any pain. Wherever you feel any pain in your body. Wherever you feel any growth in your body. The healing power of God is so strong in this atmosphere now. Yes. Yes.
Ela
da bashono mole da bayata. Aye bola da barata ya. Gule ba te kabrata kela frata ya da shada. Yes, 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 yes. Put your hand wherever you're affected. Put your hand wherever the pain is found. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release your power in this atmosphere. Let every pain be gone. Let every sickness be arrested.
I see the power of God surging through your beings this morning. Every pain in the chest region, you have a pain in your chest region, when you breathe, you feel that pain. God is removing it this morning. It's gone. I said it's gone. As a pain at the shoulder region, it's gone too this morning. The power of God is acting on it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Every pain or whatever they represent is gone. I arrest ulcer. And I say, be gone. Be gone. Every form of dislocation is fixed this morning. In the name of Jesus. Every growth in your body, I cut it off this morning. In the name of Jesus. I see the power of God flowing strongly through this place. Hallelujah. Glapendo fretam pratila barataya. Holy digri kaduvalata. At the back region, there is a pain that goes through your spine. It's always been there, but now check it, it's gone. The person I'm talking about, you couldn't bend before, but now you can bend freely. Check yourself very quickly. The power of God just acted on you right now. Every pain, your teeth, thank you, Holy Ghost. Every sickness be healed. Every pain disappear. Thou foul devil, take your hands off these bodies in the name of Jesus. Say, God's healing power is at work in me. I live long. I live strong with nothing wrong. No sickness is found in me. Check yourself. Check anything to do with your body. Anything you couldn't do with it before. If you couldn't bend, you bend. If you couldn't move your body, if there was any pain, check it. Healing is all over this place. If you couldn't jump, you jump. If you couldn't bend, try bending now. It's gone. I'm not saying it's going. It's gone now. Yes, yes, yes. Can you feel the healing already? Hallelujah. Have you checked yourself? Have you checked yourself? If you've checked yourself and you cannot find the sickness again, let me see your hands. Yeah, start. Raise it very well. See all those hands. Raise it. Keep waving it. Check yourself. Check yourself. Yes, wave it more. If you couldn't find the pain in your body, bring it down. Keep your hands up. Just raise it up. I want to count those hands. Be checking yourself. Whatever pain is going, wow, hallelujah. There are more hands going up. You've checked yourself. You can't find the pain. You can't find the sickness. I spoke about someone that had a pain. When you breathe, you feel the pain. And it just stopped. I want to see that person. About someone that has a pain at the back region. This back region, I want to see this person. This person that has a pain at the back region. Who's the person? You. Bend now. Bend fully. Do you feel it at all? Check, check, check. Do you feel it a little? Not at all. Bend again. Any pain at all? Hallelujah. Every sickness is disappearing. Someone has an eye condition. You can't use your eye perfectly well. God just fix that issue now. Every hearing condition is fixed too. I won't have time to take all the testimonies this morning. But if you send them to my mail, for God is healing you already. And it's gone. It's gone. Someone just received glasses. Last 2 weeks. Had an eye condition. They just gave you glasses in the hospital recently. Who is the person? You, sir. Okay. What's the issue? Short-sightedness or long-sightedness? You can't see clearly. Have you checked yourself now? You can see better now. It's gone now. You got that glasses last week? Just this last week? Yes, I saw someone started picking up a glasses, but you don't need it again. God has healed you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Healing power is in this place. As a healing power is working here. As a healing power is working here. Finally, if I let you go, I want to give you 2 minutes to forgive everybody you are angry with. Let go of pains in your heart. Yes, you have the time. Say, how do we let it go? Let it go. Say, Father, I release my heart. No room for hurts. Say with me, say, nobody has the power to keep me down for this long. So let go of every pain. Because it's not just about getting healed in this building. It's about maintaining your healing and staying healthy all your life. So no room for pain. Even after this service, somebody's going to get home today
and somebody's going to do something very bad to you, but it's all good. I get what I'm saying. Don't give room to the devil. The Bible did not say that when you are angry, that you are giving room to the person that hurt you. You are giving room to the devil. I get the point. So, no room for that. And we're going to live healthy. We're going to be strong. We're going to be strong. Hallelujah to Jesus. Were you blessed this morning? I'd like you to give the Lord a big, big shout this morning all over this place. Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.